Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan. I am joined as usual by Shane and Jack. And during this time, we thought there was some news that kind of popped up about FAU. So we thought we could had enough to record a show. So we will, I guess we'll jump right into that with the biggest news, really. We can thank the Miami Dolphins for this. For drafting Tua, the younger Tagovailoa, Talia, Tua's little brother, who is also a QB, is transferring, put his name in the transfer portal. He's transferring out of Alabama. And obviously the first schools that came up, FAU, FIU, University of Miami. And I think it'll be kind of a fun conversation to think about this. So, you know, laying out the facts, FAU has in Chris Robinson the most talented QB in the conference for the next 2 years. And then after that, we've got Willie's son, Willie Jr., Willie Taggart Jr., signed to this class, who is also a quarterback. And the quarterback room, so it will be kind of full for the next 2 years. But, you know, when you've got a chance to bring in somebody like the younger Tua, I think it's definitely worth checking out. So, Shane, what are your thoughts on this situation?
So that's kind of the initial thought, is right. FAU's quarterback room is full. Let's also not forget about Nick Tronti, Cortland Littlejohn, that was recruited 2 years ago, and one of my favorites, you know, Javion Posey, who played receiver last year, but I'm pretty sure he will be moved back to quarterback. We probably would have saw that this spring. You know, the Tua's family sticks really close together. They all moved to Tuscaloosa when Tua went there, and the moment he was drafted to Miami, you know, a couple weeks later, his brother puts his name in the portal. His brother was redshirted last year, so even if he has to sit this year, he will have 3 more years of eligibility left after possibly sitting. You know, yes, there's that impression with, you know, Willie Jr. coming and Javion Posey again, who I love, that the quarterback room's full. But, you know, one thing, and this is nothing in particular, but coaching staffs from across the country, any coaches I've talked to about any position ever, is always looking for more talented players. Anyways, they can always get them. It's not saying we don't believe in our quarterbacks. It's saying, if we can add this player, let's do it, right? You never know, especially with quarterbacks. I think out of the top 30 quarterbacks every year, like right now we're at a point where 60% of them are transferring, okay? Every year, you know, so the top 247 quarterbacks, they're all transferring. Yes, it might look like we have a full quarterback room, but what if Chris does decide to leave early this year? You know, what if one does transfer out? What if one player isn't what you think he was? And it's like, oh, well, you know, I think FIU is definitely, you know, is going to be interested in him. Miami will be, but, you know, the assumption is by a lot of people out there is he's going to go to a school in Florida. UCF is also a possibility. Those schools recruited 2 quarterbacks out of Hawaii. So there is a connection there. Mackenzie Milton and Dylan Gabriel both went, I believe, to the same high school, the same St. Louis High School powerhouse. I'd have to check on that, or one of the couple powerhouse high schools in Hawaii on that. So, you know, FAU is definitely, I would say, you know, they're definitely interested in this. You know,
I want to kind of piggyback on a couple things. First off, yeah, the quarterback room in Boca is full with Willie Taggart Jr. coming in. We also forgot about Justin Agner as well, who's going to be a senior this upcoming season, whenever that season happens. But like you said, quarterbacks can always transfer out. We need to remember that our number one and number two transferred in here from Oklahoma and Indiana, and Chris and Nick respectively. So we have to think about the space and scholarships that we have left. And this is something that Shane has been really just beating drum on recently. He had a great article on The Nest last week, and we're going to be talking about it a bit more later. about whether or not we're going to have the space for a position that we really don't need right now. But is it one of those situations where little Tua could be too good to pass up? Because again, there's only one season ending injury or one quarterback transferring out or one declaring early or doing a Jason Driscoll and just, you know, quitting on football until we then have a serious issue at the quarterback position. So you just have to make the pros and cons. And even though we haven't seen so much from the coaching staff yet, I think you have to have faith that they're going to go out and do what's best for the program.
And just a couple facts on Taya as a player. Highly recruited kid, was an Elite 11 quarterback. He is a little shorter than Tua. He's a couple. Tua's already kind of on the short end of quarterbacks.
And if I could interrupt, Shane, we were talking about FIU and you're talking about height there. I saw a tweet recently that Butch Davis hasn't had a quarterback shorter than like 6'2 or 6'3. And what is little Tua? 6 even?
No, his official at 247 is 5'11. You always know how those lists can be, you know, it's not accurate. So he's not as tall as his brother. You know, he was Elite 11 quarterback. So, you know, high rated kid coming out. But, you know, Alabama just recruited one of the top quarterbacks in the country. So there was some feeling there that in who you might start as a true freshman. You know, he's going to be competing with Mac Jones, that Talia could have been kind of also the odd man out. But again, most of this is just based on speculative rumors. You know, this is just, you know, everyone after he transferred yesterday, everyone's listing four schools, FAU, FIU, and some people, UCF and Miami. So, you know, Miami just took a quarterback this year in Van Dyke. So, you know, we'll kind of see how it plays out. But again, teams are, you know, with any time you see someone hit the portal in the future with any FAU football team, any coaching staff, they're always looking for talent, no matter how good you think that position is.
Yeah, and I think we've seen that firsthand when Lane was here with the wide receiver position. And it's a good thing he would just kind of give out offers to anyone because the wide receiver position became very depleted very quickly. So I think it can kind of go to show that it's better safe to be sorry. I'm surprised we're not hearing a lot of talk with USF here in Tampa going for little Tua. They have serious quarterback issues now. Blake Barnett, Alabama transfer from there, awful, didn't pan out. They have a true freshman that, you know, hasn't been doing too well.
Well, I think, you know, like Shane said, UCF has already there's already a connection there, and they'd like to stay. Tua's family moved to Alabama from Hawaii while he was there, so moving the family south makes sense. And FIU, it'll be interesting because again, he's a redshirt freshman, and even if he has to sit next year, what the quarterback situation at any school 2 years from now, who knows? So we'll see. We'll go ahead and transition into something else. And Jack kind of mentioned this earlier with roster changes. And Shane put out a great article last week, which we'll link to that, whether you're watching this on YouTube or in the show notes on iTunes. Or if you're watching on the NIST, you can check that out there too. But really interesting article kind of about attrition and roster turnover and what that means for the future. So if you want to talk about that, Shane.
Partly, what was kind of left here by Lane Kiffin and some of the issues of new NCAA rules. For those who don't know, a couple years ago, the NCAA limited how many players you could take a year to prevent, you know, a lot of FAU fans remember Troy would sign like 30, 35 players a year. And all you do is, if 10 don't make it, so what? So now you're limited on how many players you can take a year. The issue is that is when you have 85-man scholarship rule, you can take 100 players over a four-year period. But if more than 15 players leave the team beyond graduation, which is almost impossible over a four-year period to have less than, you know, especially with the transfer portal now, it's almost impossible to keep your attrition that low. So you're left with open scholarships and no ability to fill them. FAU is really close to that number, kind of at, you know, I said that they're probably max be able to play with 78 scholarship players. That is seven less scholarship players on a team that are possibly playing special teams. That could be a starter, an extra linebacker or a defensive lineman that we could get in the portal right now that we probably need, that right now we're very limited on getting. You know, I also pointed out, you know, in the article how a couple, you know, Lane's classes, you know, yeah, it was great. We got a lot of great players, but some, you know, if you look at the 2018 class, you know, I believe I put that seven players have already left the program. So it's become, you know, really hard for FAU to fill some of these roster holes. And also, you know, we kind of knew it the day of the Boca Bowl, but there was a lot of, you know, academic issues at the end. You know, Willie Taggart even said it, you know, in a, with the recent press conference that there was going to be a couple players that were going to have to sit out during the springs and hope they'd get academically right. You know, it's as much, you know, the whole basis of the article, as much as we want to talk about how people want to make this almost like a turnkey job for Willie Taggart, there's a lot of things kind of behind the scene that weren't left in a great situation.
Yeah, we're not going to say the names of the players that are in some academic issues. That's not what we're into. I mean, we all kind of know who they are. We're not going to – most of the fans know who they are based upon the bowl game against SMU, so we're not going to go ahead and just repeat that. But the roster changes, it is worrying, and it kind of goes back to the conversation that we've had about Little Tua. Is he one of those players that we just can't pass up on? Or do we need to save what scholarships we have left to help revamp the defensive line, linebackers, whatever. Tight end now with John Rain going to Northwestern. Congratulations to him. You know, I don't think that's – Ramon Smith is going to be back there. Little Cameron is going to be back there at the tight end position. So we'll see. I want to talk to you guys about John Rain. What do you guys think about his decision to go to Northwestern?
Congratulations. Go get, you know, it, John, you know, he's probably not going to be, I'm not taking a shot at him. He's a good, great football player. He's not Harrison Bryant NFL wise. Let's just be real. Go get a top 25 NBA program. Actually, when FAU played Wisconsin a couple years ago, I was in Chicago for a day, and I actually made my way up to Everington, where Northwestern is, and saw that campus. And it's like, absolutely, go get your master's there. Play, you're in the Big Ten. Thank you for your service here. You know, so it's
their football facility is nuts, by the way, right on the lake, and they have like these crazy windows that are floor to ceiling, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's
But it's an academic decision for him, I'd say. Don't you?
Yeah, and a chance to play in the Big Ten. I mean, easy.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, you mentioned Raymond Smith and the little Cameron there. Let's remember, Lou Dorsey is supposed to get. Who knows? With COVID, when anyone's going to arrive? But yeah.
Speaking of Big Ten, yeah.
Yeah, and like we've talked about before, it's tough to develop chemistry with guys. That's why you hope for a guy like Rain to come back. But, you know, kind of back to the roster thing, is FAU's lost a lot of players, you know, this year kind of early. You know, Rain transferred out. Miko Dotson went to Florida State, you know, which we need. Yeah. You know, there was some debate on Dotson and what type of player he was. Was he the best corner on the team? But still, we need veteran corners coming back.
Yeah.
James Pierre left early to the NFL, didn't end up getting drafted. You know, he signed with the team, good for him. But, you know, you wonder what an extra year could have possibly done. You know, and then the academic guy. So when you start, you know, separating it, it's like not one player makes a huge difference, but all together is the difference between us hypothetically starting slow again, which we've done last few years.
Those little pieces that, like, again, that, you know, when Harrison Bryant was out for a couple of plays, you had somebody who could, you know, plug in right away and provide a spark. Nico Dotson, obviously very talented, led the team in interceptions, kind of came out of nowhere, you know, second half of the year a bit. Again, when people start going down and we just had more players to kind of plug in, when we start losing those players, even though they may seem, you know, on the roster, on paper, insignificant is the wrong word because then nobody is insignificant, but people that you're not necessarily, and players you're not necessarily concerned about right away, having less of those players, you know, like Shane said, we could start out slower under new coaching staff, new offensive system. I mean, there's
no spring football.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before. It's going to be – there's all going to be growing pains with this team. And they're talented. We'll obviously talk more to that as the season gets closer. But, you know, we'll kind of see how it plays out. I do think this is kind of, you know, transition here, this little bit of talk. You know, I think one of the questions all of us get asked the most is, will there be a 2020 season? What will it look like? None of us three on this pod even can come close to answering this question. I don't think anyone in FAU athletics can. I don't think the president of our school or, you know, the commissioner of Conference USA can answer that question at this point. But I do think we've been given some hints by other conferences and some stuff that's been out there to kind of where it's leading. At this point, Jack, we recently just saw Oregon, the state of Oregon's governor, say that they're going to ban large attended events through September. Which, you know, a lot of people saying, how do we make that decision 4 months from now? They're probably right. That could obviously change, but Oregon's supposed to play Ohio State at home in September, you know?
That has massive ramifications to it. And you know, we have the governors and county commissioners and everything else saying one thing, and the president saying other things, and you have the individual institutions saying things. Some institutions want to say, we don't want to play football unless students are literally physically back in session on campus. Some are saying, oh no, we can play football perfectly even if students are taking their classes online. We can kind of guess which conference and which institutions are saying what. I'll let you all read in between the lines, but we just don't know. And when it comes to Conference USA, you're right, Shane, we have no idea what's happening. The conference did say last week that they will be moving the media day into a virtual format, digital format. The conference has always done a good job of streaming a lot of their media day content already. But you know, this is going to be different. It's not going to be held in a place where members of the media can go to and directly conversate with coaches, players, and the commissioner. The conference doesn't know what's really going to happen. They don't even have a date ready for it yet, which is kind of goes to show how on the fly everything is. So we don't have answers. The president of the NCAA doesn't have answers, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think the point here is there's been some hints. One, you mentioned the thing with students. I do not think there is a scenario where the NCAA sends football players to play without students being allowed on campus. That's just the PR hit they will take of, so you're determined it's not safe for students, but so you're going to send the athletes. That's a terrible look, and it won't happen. Right. You know, that's the NCAA showing its cards of just how much of a business it really is. I also think here, and the Big 12 commissioner kind of hinted this a few weeks ago. And even there was a tweet by Darren Revelle, you know, kind of discussing some of the finances of college football teams. The NFL, the MLB, and, you know, and the NBA can probably survive playing games financially without fans. Okay, those leagues can kind of absorb that hit. Their TV money is astronomical. Most college football programs cannot, and even the huge ones could not survive. As you guys know, a lot of people listening to this are FAU season ticket holders. You know, a lot of your donations are tied to season tickets. You see, like, if you have, I'm just using $100 for example, if you have a $100 season tickets, usually they're $150, and $50 of that is quote unquote donation. And your tickets are really $100, right? That goes on at Ohio State and the Floridas and the Alabamas, that world. And obviously we're talking the tens and thousands of dollars. I saw a few numbers out there. I think I said Darren Rebell made a tweet where like just it was some really high percentage of what Ohio State's athletic budget, I mean football gross revenue was, how much it just came from game days. Right? If you don't think Ohio State is gonna take a major hit not having 100,000 people come into that stadium 8 times a year, even with their TV contract, you're crazy. So I think college football will delay as long as they can until they can have fans, until they are forced to play. I just don't think most athletic departments could afford a season without fans, no matter what your TV deal is. So I just don't, you know, let's not look at college programs in the same light as we look at possibly the MLB playing games in minor league ballparks.
Like on the administrative side, most kind of, you know, keeping this within college, remembering that it is college, most college institutions are not set up to have, like, their operating budget comes largely from tuition. There's not a lot of savings built up. It's we get the money, we spend it. We get the money, we spend it. Athletics is very similar. So the challenges are going to be very similar. And I remember kind of early on, Kirk Herbstreit was, I felt like, super pessimistic, but perhaps more a little bit more realistic about playing football. And I believe he proposed, may not be his proposition, but I remember seeing something that he said, waiting until the springtime, like January, February, to play football, which, I think it basically would be a change to obviously next season, but the future season. And there's a lot that could go down. I mean, certainly there's the idea of football not being played and this season being a wash. I don't necessarily see that because there's too many people involved, you know, perhaps at the lower level, Division III type things where they just say, oh, it is what it is this year. We're going to move on. But I do think football will be played in some sort of fashion, maybe not in the fall, but perhaps maybe in the springtime, because Shane and Jack mentioned, there's just too much money on the line. Athletic departments, obviously football, but also the athletic department from entire athletic departments are so dependent on football. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there.
And let me say that, you know, when it comes to how much money they're going to make, I do think that the TV deals that the conferences like the SEC and the Big Ten have obviously benefit them a lot more than it benefits us in Conference USA. I think they'll be better off than we are down here. I'm with you guys. There's too much money to lose. I don't even know if there's no season, would they get the TV money?
Well, I mean, if there's no season, obviously not.
Yeah. So then football's going to be played eventually.
But it's just the colleges cannot – they need every piece of dime. It's just like Dan said. They get the money, they spend it. You know, it's very – there's a very few schools that operate with any type of let's put money away for a rainy day. I mean, and that's just the few that do make money. They just give it back to the school who just spends it somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
So, and you also have to factor the political pressure locally. Imagine a town like Stillwater. If you were a bar in Stillwater, I mean, just think how important those seven or eight Saturday home games are for your year, whether you open up or not, right? So there's going to be pressure from town. There's just more pressure in having fans at college football games than there is at the NFL. So, you know, I'm curious to kind of see how they handle that, you know, and the decisions are going to be based regionally. What happens if Alabama crosses its arm and says, the federal government said we're good to go. We're putting 100,000 people in here, but they got to play an away game in a state that can't, does the SEC make those, what kind of happens Just like Oregon, does Ohio State want to travel out there now if there's not going to be a lot of football games? So there's just some really interesting things to see how it kind of develops over the summer.
And it's more than just saying yes or no. You know, you have to get the hotels ready. You got to get entire floors of the hotel. You got to get the staff over there, you know, administrators, everything else, the flights, the food, all that organized. And there's just too many question marks out there. I'm also worried about what this means for sports other than football. We saw what happened at FIU recently. They are suspending their men's indoor track and field program. It's not suspended, it's actually scrubbed, it's gone. And you see some pressure in you know, outside of football and in Conference USA as a whole. Grant Taylor, he covers Marshall for the Herald Dispatch. He's saying that Conference USA might abandon bonus play moving forward. Remember, bonus play is those four extra games that you have in between the regular season and conference tournament in which you play teams that are within your same pod, and each pod is broken up based upon your record. What the conference is thinking about doing is pivoting towards a more regional aligned home and home series. So FAU could play, FAU already plays FIU twice, home and home, but that's it. Now we could do Charlotte home and home, Middle Tennessee home and home. That way we don't have to worry about going all the way to El Paso for a bonus game. Little things like that can help at the end of the day, but is it enough to help? I don't know. Is it enough to save programs? I don't know.
I don't know. I think we're just going to see a lot of changes. I think like a lot of fans have, there's been a million scenarios sort of out there where we could see a lot of the non quote unquote money making sports, pretty much anything outside of football and basketball, of how it might change. And I think we can kind of finish off on this. I do think there is an element of college. This is forcing college athletic programs to look how they do things and say, does this make the most sense financially? Why have we been doing it this way, right? Is there a better, more efficient option here? And hopefully some good things, you know, it's a lot of times tragedy kind of, you know, not that this is just tragedy within college athletics, but like, it's obviously bigger than that. But a lot of times these things force radical change. And a lot of times it's for the good, you know, things that might take years to fix or people to realize can happen in a couple of years. And maybe, you know, it could end up benefiting us in the long run.
Yeah. We've all been clamoring about more regional aligned conferences for so long now. And now that programs will be looking to, you know, pair up with teams in the region to save money on travel, you know, that could actually help find a solution to that problem.
Yeah, you tend to get more, you know, times like this, you have to get innovative if you want to survive. So if you want things to continue on, you have to get, you have to get innovative. So we'll see, who knows, maybe, you know, there's, science is working around the clock, and maybe we'll have a cure for COVID and a vaccine sooner rather than later. So we'll see. Like there's just too many what ifs, and I think you kind of just have to, you know, roll with the punches a little bit, hope for the best, watch recaps of games on YouTube. I think I've watched every FAU game for the past couple seasons on YouTube again, the highlights anyway, just to kind of get my fix of what's happening. So so I think you can hopefully make the best, hopefully we can make the best of a bad situation. So we hope that that you enjoyed this time that we had, and we always encourage you to check out FAUOwlsNest.com, check everybody out on Twitter, and we'll be back periodically. There are news tends to pop up, kind of like what happened the past couple weeks, and we'll be on our way. So we appreciate you guys hanging out with us, and make sure you check out FAUOwlsNest.com. Check us out on iTunes, your favorite podcasting, Spotify, stuff like that. And we will see you next time. Thanks for joining us, and go Owls!